The reading this morning is taken from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and 960 in the Pew Bibles. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. This is the word of the Lord.
So hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "It's as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. And the one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed me over 5 talents. Look, I have made 5 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in these few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed me over 2 talents. See, I've made 2 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But the master replied, 'You wicked and lazy servant. You knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. So I would like to begin this morning by looking at our first reading, the reading from Paul's letter to the Thessalonian Christians. The city of Thessalonica was located in the Roman province of Macedonia. It's what we would now call northern Greece. And it's evident from Paul's letters that the Christian community there were very dear to his heart. It seems that they were a fairly mature church that had remained faithful to his teaching even after he had left them. Perhaps we might be able to draw some parallels between that early church and perhaps our own church even, because we're an established church that's been here for a long time. We still have lots of members who are faithful and come to our services. And so there's a sort of a confidence that you have when you've got a church that's been around for a while. So if I may, I would like to draw a parallel there. So Paul is encouraged by the church in Thessalonica, and he's longing to spend time with them again. Now, our extract this morning reminds us that we are to find our security in God. We can be confident that he's coming back. And we need to persevere in living countercultural and holy lives. And we're also encouraged that the gifts of God, that's faith, hope, and love, will sustain us on our journey as we set about walking the way of Jesus. But significantly, Paul's letter to the Thessalonians suggests that as much as faith, love, and hope are observable characteristics of a Christian community, so is encouragement. So for me, what stands out is that this building up of the community in Christ is, for Paul, evidence of holiness of life. Holiness is not an individual endeavour that we undertake on our own, but a daily practice of building up the people around us. Now, moving to our gospel text, and we heard that in that parable of the talents, the return of the master is certain, but that the timing is unknown. And we have the picture of the pregnant woman. I remember when I was pregnant myself, that thought about the fact that this was definitely going to happen. Even though, you know, it was a little bit scary, especially the first time, didn't know what to expect. But there's no way you can get out of it. That baby's got to come out. It's going to happen. You just don't know when that labour's going to kick in. And it's the same. That's the picture that's been used here. Now, after a long absence, we're told, the master returns, and he discovers that each servant has done with his property. The first two slaves do business with the master's talents and double his money. Though the first slave earns more than the second, each has done remarkably well with what he's been given. They have performed according to their potential, and they have been faithful to do what the master has required of them. The master's response to each of them is the same. He commends the slaves for being good and faithful, entrusts them with more authority, and invites them to enter into his joy. Now, the master expected the servants to continue his business, to take risks to make a profit, and to emulate his behaviour. Now, I've heard it said that faith perhaps ought to be spelt R-I-S-K. Because faithfulness means stepping out in faith. It means taking a risk. Two servants were found faithful. Their risk-taking was rewarded. Their faithfulness had increased the master's wealth and expanded his estate. The third servant, however, didn't do so well. His fear held him back. It prevented him from taking a risk, and so he didn't fulfill his potential. Now, Jesus tells this story to his disciples to prepare them for the days ahead when their faith will be tested. This parable depicts how the disciples are to demonstrate their faithfulness as they anticipate the return of the Lord. So it seems that the gospel writer uses our ultimate judgment actually as a way of encouraging us, encouraging engagement with our talents, the gifts that we've been given, rather than just burying them in the ground. Matthew's gospel reminds us that if we desire to be followers of Jesus, we must use all that God has given us for the sake of the kingdom. Now, we are, of course, about to enter into a time of waiting as we begin Advent in 2 weeks' time. So what does faithfulness look like in a time of waiting? Well, in Matthew's gospel, faithfulness is emulating the ministry of Jesus. All who would follow Jesus are to preach the good news of the kingdom to the whole world by going about the work that the Master has called them to do. And this work includes visiting the sick and the imprisoned, clothing the naked, welcoming the stranger, and feeding the hungry. Those who are found faithful in this work will then hear their Master say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So, from our reading this morning, I feel that we need to acknowledge the theme of judgment, because it's there in both the readings, but to take from it a theme of encouragement. We should be encouraged that it is certain, as much as that baby will be born, that Jesus will come again, and that we can be secure in that knowledge. We can be encouraged that we have faith, hope, and love to equip us for the task ahead. But that we need to take risks, because that's what being faithful is about. It's about taking risks for the gospel. But if we're going to do that, if we're going to take risks together, we need to be encouragers. We need to be building each other up. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, as indeed you are doing, says verse 11. So let's pray. Father God, help us to be encouragers of one another. Help us to see and acknowledge all the gifts and the talents that you've placed in each other. Perhaps to point them out to those who don't even recognize them in themselves. Help us to give opportunities to each other. Forgiveness where things go wrong. Opportunities to make mistakes, knowing that together we can move forward. Help us to be bringers of the kingdom, transformers of ourselves, our communities, and our world. We ask that you will bless us this morning, Lord, and encourage us in this work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.